Morning, Zoe. Got donuts.
Jeff Bridges, why are you still living above our garage?
Well, I dig the mattress, and I want to be in a T-Mobile commercial like you. Teach me, Sildana.
Oh, no, I'm not really prepared. I couldn't possibly. At T-Mobile, get the new iPhone 17 Pro on them. It's designed to be the most powerful iPhone yet and has the ultimate pro camera system.
Wow, impressive. Let me try. T-Mobile is the best place to get iPhone 17 Pro because they've got the best network.
Nice, Jeffrey.
You heard them. T-Mobile is the best place to get the new iPhone 17 Pro on us with eligible trade-in in any condition.
So, what are we having for lunch?
Dude, my work here is done.
With 24 monthly bill credits on Experience Beyond for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off earlier. Cancel finance agreement. iPhone 17 Pro, 256 gigs, $1,099.99 and new line minimum $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This is Aces on the Air.
They got the bucket. A Turnbull came from the weak side and recycled the shot. A game-saving play by Turnbull.
The official podcast for Evansville Athletics.
Ground ball to the right side. McGinnis Fields. He throws the first. They've done it! For the first time in program history, Evansville has won a regional. The Purple Aces are off to the Sweet 16.
Aces on the Air is brought to you by Taroni's Pizzeria and Brewery. Claim a $3 off voucher at any 2025-2026 UE Athletic event on campus.
The turn on to first. Two! A double play! And it's ball game! Evansville fans have won it 18 long years! For the first time since 2006, the Aces are Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Champions!
Every episode of Aces on the Air is available on Spotify, Apple, and online at GoPurpleAces.com.
Elevates on a three. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball this Tuesday night.
Now, here's the voice of the Aces, Jevin Redmond.
From the Purple Aces Sports Network, this is Aces on the Air, brought to you by Tronies and powered by Learfield. I'm Jevin Redman. Episode 44 this week is a men's basketball preview with my broadcast partner, the Hall of Famer, Scott Schreffler. Last week, we got a behind-the-scenes look with the men's basketball program. Now, this week, we'll talk about the upcoming year, the roster, the schedule, Missouri Valley Conference predictions, and then as we get closer to that Purdue game, we'll hear from Coach Ragland and some of the players here on Aces on the Air. Again, broadcast partner, the Hall of Famer, Scott Schreffler. He is back for his 25th season doing the Aces on radio. And Scott, I don't know if we have anything big planned, but congratulations on 25 years.
Yeah, that means I'm getting old is what it means. So that's good. It's nice sitting here in the Meeks Family Center. Used to be Carson Center when I played. This place has changed so much. Air conditioned now. We used to play here in the summer, and I mean, it would be like an oven in here. I mean, the heat index would be like 110 in here, but great facility here, and appreciate you having me on.
I know right now the TerraFlex floor for volleyball is laid down with volleyball net up, and this is really a nice place to host volleyball. You get some people in here, it gets loud, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I've been to a few volleyball games, and I wish the ceiling was a little higher. I'm sure the opponents probably
makes
don't like that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it makes it definitely interesting, but I can get pretty loud in here. I mean, there's not a lot of places for the sound to go in here. So, yeah, good home court environment.
We might have touched on this last year or a couple other podcasts that we've done, but, you know, I mentioned 25 years doing Aces basketball on the radio, and this is my eighth year, so partner, almost a third of them have been with me. That's kind of scary. But what was the first game that you called? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. Official game. Well, you know, the first game I ever called was we were playing down in Puerto Rico, and at that time I was administrative assistant. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't have any coaching abilities, and Adam Alexander was doing the games back then, and he was by himself, and I didn't really have any charting to do, so I asked Coach Cruz, I was like, hey, we're playing Rice, and I said, hey, would you care if I did the color commentary for this tournament? He's like, yeah, go ahead. And so that was the first game I called, was Evansville versus Rice in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Not
and then
place
the next year,
game, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. And then the next year is when I officially started as the color commentator officially. But my first game was in San Juan, though. Yeah.
All right, basketball season is here. It has snuck up on me, I think, more so because we had the warm weather outside. Doesn't feel like basketball season yet, but next Saturday, exhibition game against Henderson State. Then, of course, on November 4th, we open up at Purdue against number one team in college basketball up in West Lafayette. So just kind of early impressions of this team so far. You know, last year they go 11-21, stronger in the conference, 8-12. The majority of the roster is gone. You do return a couple of key pieces, But, you know, with this coaching staff basically going into year four, I know Coach Rodden got an extension, but maybe a little more pressure to, hey, take that next step, finish middle up perhaps the conference. We'll get into all that here shortly. But just early impressions of this group through a few weeks of practice is what?
Yeah, I think we can definitely build off last year. As you said, there's a lot of turnover, but we do have, which we'll get into a little bit later, Josh Hughes and Connor Turnbull back, which was huge from a staple standpoint for the program. But, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty similar from last year as far as pre-conference. I mean, we had a tough pre-conference schedule last year. This year is going to be even tougher. I think we got the number one rated non-conference schedule in the Missouri Valley Conference. But I really like what I'm seeing now. I like our depth. You know, last year they have the top six or seven would go against the second team every day in practice. Now they've got the opportunity to mix up combinations. And so nobody, they're all fighting for their, you know, what they think the top eight or nine positions there as far as getting in the rotation. So practice has definitely been a lot more intense and competitive than last year.
I think we know every year we're going to lose a handful of guys, and more so what I focus on is, all right, well, who are you returning? And while on the roster, you returned four players that saw minutes last year, two that really saw heavy minutes. Of course, that is Connor Turnbull and Josh Hughes, but those are two great players to return if you're going to start, you know, returning a pair of 6'10 guys that were top five in the Valley in block shots. Of course, Turnbull played outstanding offensively and defensively into the season. Missouri Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year. So if you're only going to return a few guys, those are two good guys to have back.
Yes, absolutely. And that kind of, they know what the program's about. They know the culture. I think Josh is pretty vocal with the team, like behind the scenes in the locker room and all that stuff. Connor's a little more of a quiet person, personality-wise. But great to have those guys back. And I love the way Connor finished the season, you know, about a quarter of the way into the season last year, he really started getting a lot more comfortable, you could tell. And so he's got to be coming back with a lot of confidence. And then Josh played great defensively last year, did a lot of things defensively that went unnoticed, but he understands the defensive concept that we want to do here. But, yeah, just to have those two guys back with the culture and the experience they have, it was key, I think. And that, I think, helped attract other people in, too, that maybe they passed up on less money, but they wanted to come here because of those two guys and what the culture they represent and what UE represents.
Josh Hughes, in his freshman season, provided great minutes off the bench. Last year was asked to do more so in the starting rotation, and the biggest drop-off was his shooting percentage. We know the struggles home versus road, but overall last year, 37% from the field, 23% from three. We know that he's a better shooter than that over the course of his career, but as he goes into year three, what are you hoping to see differently from Josh this year versus last year?
Yeah, I think keys to Josh is getting off to good starts in games because he wants to do probably too well, too much, right? I mean, he wants to be really good. He wants to play a good game. He's big on, you know, not letting his teammates down and coaches and fans for that matter. But I think if he can just take a little less pressure off himself in games and try to relax, because I think he starts pressing, especially if he, from three, if he starts missing a couple, I think he starts pressing a little bit more. But you know what he never did last year, even though he really struggled from behind the three-point line, especially on the road, he never let that affect his defense. And he's good. Even to be 6'11", 7 foot, they can switch out. He can guard perimeter guys, moves his feet pretty well. He does a good job on help defense stuff that most people watching the game probably don't even notice, but he erased a lot of things last year before people could even get to the rim.
Connor Turnbull, really tough to pick on too much of his game down the stretch. So as he heads into year two as an ace, what's maybe one thing you hope to see him improve on or do better?
Health.
Yeah, stay healthy.
We got to keep him healthy.
Key, yeah.
He seems to get banged up quite a bit. And so, yeah, I know he's kind of banged up right now. He's not going through a full practice. But I think the healthier he is and the more he can be in shape, you know, physically, as far as running up and down the court and not having to, you know, throw the fist up and come out is going to be pretty important for us. But we got to get him healthy first. Yeah. And I think the coaches have done a good job this year on practices, cutting them down a little bit, still intense practices, but not going as long because we're an older team. I mean, we got some guys that got a lot of miles on them.
That's what I was going to actually mention next. I talked with Coach Ragland on Monday this week at practice. He said, hey, we've got a more experienced group, an older group that we have to kind of watch our minutes on the practice court. And this is a group that, hey, they've been around the block a few times. So I don't know if it's necessarily important to go super hard, you know, full 4 or 5 days a week. So that is something they have to manage more is the minutes of practice.
Yeah, you got to keep the load off because it's a long season.
It is,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we didn't used to start till tomorrow, October 15th. What's the date? October 14th, right?
Yeah.
I got my dates right. Yeah, so, and then, you know, we would be done in March, but these guys go almost all year round now, and it's a lot of, and especially having older guys, they've done that at different programs and a couple years here, so that puts, especially bigger guys, a lot tougher on your body than, you know, being a 6'1" guard.
Okay, outside of those two big guys, now the Aces have some size other positions as well. But a name Evansville fans aren't familiar with yet is James Dyson Merva, a 6'11 forward from Australia. He was a late pickup, was not here during summer workouts. He is a big body, and I guess kind of give Aces fans, from your vantage point, realistic expectations of him and what he can provide this team.
Yeah, well, the good thing is James knows what he's capable of doing. Now, he's not going to come into a game and try to do something he can't do as far as taking a bad shot or trying to, you know, thread a needle in the pass. But I could see him playing, you know, maybe 5 minutes per half right now. He's got some pretty good players in front of him. Pretty raw, but I tell you what, he is fast. Like some of the sprints, I mean, he wins all the sprints at 6'11". He's got the highest vertical on the team. He just has to work on more of his game around, you know, offensively around the basket and keep working on his touch a little bit. But he's definitely going to get some time. And, you know, usually when you got a big guy coming in as a freshman, they're kind of frail or skinny. But that's not the case with him. We got to work on more skill with him. He's already, you know, like I said, strong and just a great kid and understands what he can do and what he can't do.
He can set a heck of a screen, too, with that body. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to run into his screen.
I would think, too, you know, with him, if the Aces can get, again, solid screening, rebounding, and the occasional finishing around the rim, that'd be productive for his spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And he flies down the court. Yeah. Like when he gets a rebound or somebody else does, or after he makes an outlet pass, he is flying down the court. Mm-hmm. I mean, which puts a lot of pressure on the defense. Even though he might not be a threat, they have to suck back and get their defense back, which opens up things for other people.
All right, at the guard spot, wings, whatever you want to call it, the Aces, I think, have pretty good depth there. And really the two headliners starting at the point guard position, one of the bigger pickups, if not the biggest pickup. In terms of new faces this year is Leif Mold, a 6'7 guard from Germany, 22 years old, played pro ball over there. Again, he wasn't here during the summer either. He came to campus the last week of workouts there in July, but getting familiar with his teammates and just kind of watching him over the last month and a half, you know, he's starting to kind of figure out his teammates, where he fits. We know he's an important piece, but as we get close to season, we're starting to see more of the Leif Mold that we expected in practice.
Yeah, and he's, you know, it's a tough transition for anybody coming from, you know, Europe or wherever they're coming from to come over and play in America. But he's just a basketball player, right? He's got a high IQ. Like, he's not one that's going to get a steal and go down and do some fancy dunk. He may dunk the ball, but he's just so steady. You know, he kind of reminds me of, and some of the older Aces fans will remember this, and I remember watching him. I never got to play against him, but kind of a Brad Leaf type of player back under Dick Walters there, and Brad was one of the best players, best guards to come through here. Kind of has that size, can shoot, makes people around him better. Like I said, he's just a basketball player.
Do you expect him to be more of a facilitator, a scorer, all the above? Because, I mean, I watch him. His court vision is outstanding. Head's always up. When he needs to go score, he does. And also, I know it's been impressive just his knowledge coming in of his teammates, watching a lot of film from games last year, practice throughout the summer, I guess. Just what do you think the main staple of Leif Mold will be in terms of scoring, facilitator? What do you think?
Everything. Yeah. I think when the situation comes down, like, you know, maybe somebody's having a bad game or whatever, and he feels like, hey, this is a game where I've got to look to score more. If other players are playing well, shooting the ball well, he can facilitate. I think he can just do whatever's asked of him. He's not a type of guy. I mean, he is a true point guard. He's not going to take very many bad shots unless he has to be forced in that situation to score. But like I said, he's just a high IQ player, just a basketball player, just kind of has a great feel for the game and do what he needs to do.
Again, at the point guard spot, more depth than the previous year, it appears. Bryce Quinnett, very good freshman guard from Scottsdale, Arizona, 6'3". And if you watch practice, you would think, you know, he could be your starting point guard at times, and just gives off the appearance that he's more of an upperclassman than a freshman coming in.
Yeah, another high basketball IQ guy. His dad was a coach in Arizona, and he's one that's really surprised me watching practice. I didn't know what to expect of him, but I've been really impressed with him. He can see the court. He is a competitor, too. So he's matched up with Leif almost every day. Sometimes they're on the same team, but most time they're going at each other, and boy, he doesn't back down, and just love his tenacity and his basketball IQ. So he's going to be a solid backup, and he's going to get a lot of minutes this year.
Yeah, that was obviously a big struggle last year, especially with, you know, Tayshaun Coleman, the point guard position, having to play 37, 38 minutes every night, and that just wears on you throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's so consistent. You know what you're going to get out of him from game to game.
Also at the guard, or go more 2-3 position, Alex Hemenway. You know, that's a fun story where he's had a great basketball career, mostly at Clemson, was at Vanderbilt last year, injured, didn't get to play. But, you know, he was a meaningful player for Clemson for 4 years. That fifth year, he got hurt early in the season. But 40%+ from three of his first four seasons there for Clemson. Of course, Castle High School graduate, ton of experience coming in, and watching him, he looks like a pro out there.
Yeah, he does. And he's one of our older guys, too. A key right there is going to be him and Connor. I mean, we got to keep those two guys healthy. Alex unfortunately has a tendency to have weird injuries over his career, right? But he can really shoot the ball. Him and Leif are like pure shooters, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody after that, some can shoot a little more streaky, but those two are like solid shooters. I think the big thing with Alex, that he's not a real selfish player, but we need him to be selfish and look for his shots more, which I've seen that in the last few practices where he's really, you know, looking for his shot more and being more aggressive with a shot. And if people come at him, which hopefully he can stretch a defense, give opportunities for other people, but also with him being a good shooter and stretch a defense when people recover to him tight for him to go around and work on that mid-range game. And I've seen improvement in that since he started here.
Keyshawn Porter, another guy, 6'5" guard, comes in with a lot of experience. North Carolina Central last year, which is Division I, 10 points per game. And I was talking with Coach Ragland during the summer about, hey, you know, what type of player is he in terms of shooting? And he said he shoots at a higher clip than probably what he actually is because he takes good shots. And I've seen a lot of that in practice. The last few weeks, he shot the ball very well. But Keyshawn, extremely athletic, can play above the rim.
Yeah.
He's the most athletic player on this roster. And, man, he's a fun watch when he's playing well.
Yeah, he is. He's high energy. He's got a high motor. And, you know, sometimes he's going to have to bring that down a little bit. He's pretty emotional out there. You know, he gets real excited, and sometimes probably too excited. He's got to kind of stay a little bit more even keel, I think. But gosh, he's going to be fun to watch, and his decision making's getting better, where he's not taking his, you know, bad shots. And, you know, I think at NC Central, he probably, I haven't seen film on him just by the way he first started playing here, probably had to create a lot of shots on his own and be the guy there, right? But here, he's fitting in as far as facilitating and knowing his role. But, he's going to be an exciting player to watch.
He also seems like a guy that can get after you too defensively, you know, pick up 94 feet and really cause problems with the opposition.
Yeah, I know we've worked on some pressing a little bit, just not necessarily to steal, but some full-court pressure to slow teams down because we're long and lanky and we've got versatile players that are interchangeable. So, he's definitely going to be one of those guys that can get after it a little bit defensively, probably get some steals and then ignite the crowd with some crazy dunk there at the end.
All right, let's finish up with kind of the roster talk here with Purple Aces. I don't mean this in a negative way, but two kind of wild cards on the roster just because of, hey, they haven't had a lot of time at their previous schools. They're at bigger programs. Of course, they're very talented, but just really haven't had a ton of game experience. That's A.J. Casey and Marlon Barnes Jr. A.J. Casey is 6'9", senior. I was on that Miami team a couple years ago. They went to the Final Four. Saw a few minutes here and there for them. Just 3 games last year at St. Louis, then Marlon Barnes Jr. just 8 games last year at Pittsburgh. So those two guys, again, not really a large sample size in terms of game production, but where do you think they fit in with this year's team?
Yeah, I think AJ is going to be, he's going to be a nice, he's a role player right now, right? He's not a great shooter. He really can't play with his back to the basket. You know, he wants to be a slasher. He's got to work on his ball handling, that stuff a little bit more. But what I've seen, he's definitely a team player defensively. I think he can switch out. He can guard a 5. He can guard a 2 or a 3 as well. So he's going to be pretty versatile. And I think once he figures out his role, which he pretty much has now, I think he's going to play anything from a 3 and maybe guard a 5. But he's going to be a solid 4 player. Probably start some with injuries, but maybe more coming off the bench and giving us a spark off the bench.
Well, you talk about size. It seems like we've discussed more so offensive positions. But I think defensively with this group, they have a chance to be strong on that. And they were last year, you know, with Turnbull and Hughes. And I thought there just after Christmas break, their defense is what kind of changed their season, at least in terms of Valley play. But you have a chance we're all out there 6'7", 6'9", 6'10", 6'10", which I would think some Valley teams or most Valley teams will have a hard time matching.
Yeah, I mean, and they're versatile players. Like, they can switch. We can do 4-way switches against most teams, depending on the personnel. And I know they're starting to – which, you know, the last couple of years, sometimes we'll throw in a little zone, just kind of break up the other team's momentum or what have you. And I think this could be a really good zone team with our length and the basketball IQ that we have. So I know they're just starting to implement that a little bit now early here in the season. But, he's got the length. We all a lot of people have the link there defensively, but should be, from a defensive standpoint, I think we can, you know, alter some shots. And, you know, when they get in the paint, they're gonna see some tall timber in there, and maybe not only alter a shot there, but, you know, make them kick it out.
All right, let's break down the schedule just a little bit here with the non-conference part. 11 non-conference games. Last year, the Aces went 3-8 in that portion of the schedule. You talked about it. Is it the toughest schedule in the Missouri Valley in terms of non-conference opponents? You open up at Purdue November 4th, then a couple of games at home on paper that you should take care of with Calumet and Oakland City. Then I think really where you get a test of where you're at is November 12th against Middle Tennessee State and the 18th against UT Arlington. But we're not going to go game by game. But just overall, through those 11 games, what would be kind of a good mark mark, you think, when that's all over?
Yeah, but before we get to that, I do want to touch on Marlon Barnes just real quick.
Sure.
Transfer from Pittsburgh, pretty versatile player, can shoot when he gets hot shooting. You know, he can really shoot. He's going to get stronger as the year goes on. And he's a guy, too, that even though he went to Pittsburgh, he didn't play a lot. So this is his third year in college, but he doesn't have a lot of college experience. So he's still learning, but I think he can do some exciting things give us a big boost to coming off the bench. But, yeah, looking at that pre-conference schedule, man, that's tough. I know we've got Calumet and Oakland City in between there, but, I mean, you're getting thrown right in the fire right off the bat. And as we know now, Purdue is number one ranked team in the nation and well-deserved. Coach Painter does a great job up there. I've had an opportunity to go to some practices over the last 5 years, and he's got a culture up there, and the guys believe in it, and they work hard. And you and I were just talking about this. That is a loud place, Mackey, no matter who they play. They blow the roof off of that thing. But, tough schedule. You know, right now I'm not comfortable even saying what kind of record coming out of that 11, but I think 5 or 6 wins would be really good, to be honest with you. But, again, Coach Ragan, just like last year, tougher non-conference schedule. This year even tougher, but getting them ready for the Valley. Yeah. As we know, to get to the NCAA tournament now, you're going to have to win your conference tournament. You know, if Indiana State couldn't get in 2 years ago at 28-3 or 4, whatever they were, then there's not going to be any at-large bids.
Yeah, I had, 5-6, 6-5, if you're actually predicting the games. But I focus more so on, hey, how are we playing at the end of that non-conference schedule, which your last three games are, I think, good opponents heading into Valley play. You get Ball State at home, at Western Kentucky, at Notre Dame, all very respectable opponents to where, hey, I mean, tough battles, but also those opponents don't overwhelm you either.
No, it's definitely teams we can be competitive with. And as you said, I think the main thing the coaches are going to have to focus on, and the team leaders such as Josh Hughes and maybe Connor a little bit. Leif's pretty outspoken, but how are they going to handle? Because there's going to be some adversity early on. Like, everybody's rah-rah right now, right? But, you know, you go in Purdue, and, I mean, we could beat them. We beat Kentucky. They are number one, right?
Right.
Last time we played a number one team.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some ups, and there's definitely going to be some downs in this pre-conference schedule. How are they going to handle that? And are they going to keep believing in themselves, keep believing in the system? That's going to be key, I think, moving into conference.
Valley play does open up December 16th. That's a Tuesday night at home against Belmont. And unlike previous years where you'd have two early games, then you go back in a non-conference before you return to Valley play. Once we hit conference play, we're in it for the rest of the season this year. But one noticeable difference is just the days that Evansville plays on. You know, in previous years, you could pretty much expect mostly Wednesdays and Saturdays, the occasional Tuesday, Sunday, depending on, some TV games and whatnot. This year, you're almost playing an NBA schedule in a way where you're playing maybe a Thursday, Sunday, and then a Friday, Monday. So not as many days off in between games as previous years. With an older group, again, you can dissect the schedule. At the end of the day, you're playing everybody twice, home and away.
Right.
It is what it is. But, with the games on really variations of days, does that impact the team much like Evansville with, again, an older team that maybe – need some more time off?
It might help them, to be honest
with
you.
Help them,
yeah. Because I know my senior year, we were pretty banged up. And, once we got into conference and the games are closer together, you're not having those hard practices. Yeah. You're working on recovering after game day. And that gives you more time. Then you're preparing for the next team coming up. You're going through a light work through, a light shooting practice. Maybe some, 30 minutes, 45 minutes of physical competitive stuff. But I think it actually helps an older team or a team that's fragile and maybe battling some injuries.
Mm-hmm. The preseason polls or the preseason standings, this year they just released the top five teams with the votes. So I guess technically Evansville's tied for 6th because they weren't a part of that first five. But you've got Illinois State. They were picked to win it. Northern Iowa, then Murray State, Bradley 4th, and Belmont 5th. And I think Illinois State was picked more so because of what they returned from a season ago. But obviously Northern Iowa is very dangerous. Murray State with the resources and NIL money they have. And we say this most years with Murray State, man, they're very talented on paper. Can they put it together and can they keep it together is always the question. Just what are your overall thoughts about the Valley this year?
Yeah, it's the top five. Those are legit teams. Mm-hmm. Illinois State, of course, I thought Illinois State really underachieved last year till late in the year.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens there. They got pretty much everybody back, and Bradley's always good. Coach Jacobson at Northern Iowa, I mean, he's just a czar when it comes to conference play. He's always going to be in the top three. I think it'll be interesting, but I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. I really do. I don't think we've never really been to the point where it's kind of like IU football. Like, they were really good, but nobody ever gave them respect because they'd never been there before. It's been a long time since Evansville has been mentioned in the top five or even top six of the conference, right? So until we prove that, I mean, people are still going to keep picking us low in the NBC. But I really think once we get to conference play, if we stay pretty healthy, there's always going to be bangs and bruises. But I think we can surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of other media outlets. It's been picking the Aces kind of eighth or ninth in that range. And I've said this in a couple of interviews, but I picked them seventh. But I think their roster is more talented to finish higher than seventh. And, you know, I think they can realistically compete for a fourth or fifth spot, get a first-round bye in Arch Madness. Of course, the top five teams get a first-round bye now this year. So my question to you is, outside of staying healthy, what has to go right for the Aces this year to, let's say, get – that fifth spot and get a first round bye?
Well, we got to take care of home court advantage, you know. And then you look at last year, gosh, what did we end up getting? The 10th seed?
Yeah,
but we were one game out of what, seventh?
Yeah, we're a three-way tie for eighth, got the 10th seed. But at one point, Evansville was in sixth with about a month to go.
Yeah. So staying healthy, take care of home court advantage, and then we need some other teams to beat up on each other, right? We need some big wins from Valpo or UIC against some of the top five teams as well. But, and then staying healthy, right, and handling adversity. The Missouri Valley's tough. it's a grind. So, but two guys have been through it. You know, Leif, 22 years old. He's used to playing pro. I mean, no environment he goes into, no opponent that he's played is going to be any better, any more difficult than he's already played in. So hopefully he can share his experiences with the team, given his past experience in Europe.
Again, our first broadcast will be a week from this Saturday as the Aces take on Henderson State in their lone exhibition game of the year. That's at Ford Center, 1 o'clock tip-off. We're on the air at 12:30. And Scott, I'll go work hard on the marketing team. 25th year doing the games on the radio. See if we can get some big promotions lined up.
That's right. Well, haven't got there yet. We still got a couple weeks, you know. The older I get, I just try to take everything one day at a time. Yeah. But I've enjoyed it. Have a lot of fun experiences. Called some games with some great guys like yourself, Adam Alexander, Brandon Gauden. I mean, you guys do a great job. I just go along for the ride. You guys do all the hard work.
Everything else good in your life?
Yeah, doing good. Yeah, so the Purdue game. So my youngest daughter goes to Purdue.
That's right,
so yeah. So we'll be a little family split there. But
is this her first year up
there? Yeah. She's a freshman. So
she enjoying it so far?
Yeah. She really is. She's home for fall break now. Leaving, going back today. But so I'm sure she'll be cheering for Purdue. So, but
I'll say, who's she rooting for? Evansville, Purdue?
No, she'll be cheering for Purdue. But her mama and sister and me and my grandson, who knows who he'll cheer for, but he's still undecided, I'm sure. But so that's gonna be a fun game for our family.
All right, can't wait till next Saturday. Looking forward to another fun year.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it, Jevin. Thank you.
All right, that's the Hall of Famer, Scott Schreffer. That wraps up episode 44 of Aces on the Air. And again, we hope to see you next Saturday at Ford Center for the 1 o'clock exhibition game with Henderson State. If you can't make it, there's plenty of room on the radio to listen. That is the Old National Bank Purple Aces Sports Network. Our flagship station for every game this year is 107.1 WJPS. You can also listen online, WJPSradio.com. For Scott Schreffer, I'm Jevin Rebin. Go Aces.